Good morning. I'd like to call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Today is Thursday, January 26, 2006. It's now 8:41 a.m. Have present Senator French, Senator Huggins, myself, Senator Seekins. And today we have several hearings of people who are submitting their names for confirmation and consideration. So we'd like to start this morning with Mr. James Fayette. Mr. Fayette, are you online with us this morning?
I am. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, and welcome to the Judiciary Committee. Sir, we always like to start out by asking why it is that someone has consented to allow their name to be nominated for the position that they are looking at. And if you could tell us, sir, a little background of why you would consider working as on the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Good morning. I'd be happy to, Senator. But to begin, may I inquire? I was told by staff that the committee members would have before them documents, including my resume and a letter that I submitted to the Bar Association.
We do have that.
I beg your pardon?
We do have that.
Okay. I'll try not to duplicate my comments.
It's all right if you do.
All right.
We're used to that.
Maybe I could begin. I've got, by responding to your inquiry, could I describe a little bit about my background?
Absolutely.
All right. My name is James Fayette. I currently work as the supervising prosecutor of the Special Prosecutions Office for the Department of Law. I work directly for Dean Guanelli, who I know has appeared before your committee. Last year, the governor appointed me to the Judicial Conduct Commission, and that appointment requires your confirmation vote, and that's what brings me here this morning. I've been a prosecutor in Anchorage for pretty much my entire career, which is a little bit shy of 17 years now. By way of background, I was born and raised in northern Vermont, attended the University of Vermont Law School in Boston. I attended college on an Army ROTC scholarship, and I served on active duty at Fort Richardson. That's what brought me to Alaska 17 years ago. I served on active duty for 4 years at Fort Richardson. Most of that tour was as Fort Richardson's military prosecutor. I left the Army and joined the Anchorage DA's office in 1993 and worked there for 11 years, handling all sorts of cases, from misdemeanors to double murder. I took 10 murder verdicts before I turned 40. A couple of years ago, I decided to try private practice and worked in private practice doing general commercial liability defense and medical malpractice defense. And I was glad I did that, but my heart never strayed far from prosecution. And I was very pleased when Mr. Guanelli offered me the special prosecutions job about a year ago. I accepted that offer, and I've been at the Special Prosecutions Office ever since. So for the past year, I've supervised an 8-lawyer office at the Special Prosecutions Office. My office handles cases involving police officer misconduct, public official misconduct, white-collar crime, specialized fraud prosecutions like Medicaid and insurance fraud and permanent fund dividend fraud. I also supervise a rural Alaska bootlegging prosecutor and a statewide fish and game prosecutor. As far as career achievements, you've got my resume before you, but I'm particularly proud of the recognition award I received a few years ago from Victims for Justice and my work with Anchorage Youth Court. I've been interested in service on the Judicial Conduct Commission for some time. I was very pleased when the Bar Association nominated me last year, and very gratified that the governor appointed me in July. The Judicial Conduct Commission is an important oversight commission. Its role, obviously, is to ensure public confidence in the state court judges and in the judiciary and the court system. It's a 9-member commission. It's comprised of 3 citizen members that are appointed directly by the governor, 3 judges that the state court judges elect amongst themselves, and three lawyers, and the lawyers are appointed, are apportioned geographically. The governor appointed me last year as the third judicial district attorney member. And as I mentioned, obviously that appointment requires your confirmation vote. The Conduct Commission handles day-to-day complaints that are filed by citizens against state court judges. It also issues formal advisory opinions and often gives informal ethics advice to state court judges and court system personnel. Its most significant function is that the Constitution says that the Alaska Supreme Court can discipline, retire, or censure a state court judge on the recommendation of the Judicial Conduct Commission. That's probably the Commission's most important duty. I should digress just for a second and mention that oftentimes the Judicial Conduct Commission is confused for the Judicial Council. The two bodies have similar names, and they're often confused even by members of the legal community. The Judicial Council is the merit selection board that screens judicial applicants. The Conduct Commission is completely different. The council is oftentimes mentioned in the press, and it's probably the better known of the two. That's not what I was appointed to. I was appointed to the Conduct Commission. The Conduct Commission, as I mentioned, handles complaints against state court judges. Those complaints can range from the mundane to the most serious. Things like the judge used harsh words in court against a party or against a juror. The judge took too long to rule. The judge had a conflict because he was friends with one lawyer or the other and didn't disclose that fact. Those complaints need to be looked at very carefully because the issue is obviously one of public trust. On the other hand, I think the commissioners on the Conduct Commission have to be sensitive to how truly difficult a job judging really is. Judges are held correctly to a high standard of personal and professional conduct. There are restrictions on judges' activities that other public officials don't have. The Conduct Commission deals with the judicial canons, which are a fairly complex series of rules of conduct. Those rules are not often clear, even to lawyers that focus on them and study them. Judges have to be conscious of the fact that the mere appearance of impropriety is oftentimes as bad or worse than the actual impropriety. And I think commissioners have to be sensitive to the ease with which a citizen or a disappointed litigant can bring a meritless complaint against a state court judge just to spite the judge. Sorting through that sort of thing, complaints with merit and complaints that are unsupported, frankly, are exactly what a prosecutor does. I've handled many sensitive cases in my career. I've been involved in investigations of police officers, corporations, confidential informant cases that were in the media and not. I've screened thousands of cases. Oftentimes, I take positions adverse to the police department, sometimes adverse to the crime victim. You do so, you screen these cases, you handle them, and you bring them to court knowing that whatever you do, you may be second-guessed. Somebody might be unhappy with the prosecutor's decision. But you have to go where the facts and the law lead you. That's what I've tried to do in my work as a prosecutor, and I think so it is with Judicial Conduct Commission cases. The public needs to know that complaints against judges will be investigated by an independent commission on one hand. On the other hand, judges need to know that a commissioner has the integrity to vote to dismiss a complaint if it lacks factual basis. And I'm pretty sure I can do that. And that's one of the main reasons why I want to serve on the Conduct Commission. The other is this. I see myself something of a representative of the criminal bar. By that, I mean lawyers that practice criminal law. Criminal lawyers are almost always state employees. They're either DAs or public defenders. And as I mentioned, the other body that our Constitution establishes that has a judicial oversight committee is the Judicial Council. State employees are barred by the Constitution from serving on the Judicial Council. They're not barred from serving on the Conduct Commission. If criminal lawyers are to have a voice in judicial oversight, this is it. And I think that's awkward. That's an awkward distinction that I think probably has its origins 50 years ago when the Constitution was drafted. But I think it's important to note because if a judge has a conduct problem or a delay problem, that issue I think is going to be apparent more quickly to members of the criminal bar than the civil bar. Criminal lawyers are in court every day, sentencing hearings, bail hearings, trials. Civil lawyers are regarded as aggressive if they do one or two or three trials a year. So for that reason, I think it's important that the criminal bar has a voice on the conduct commission. In fact, the conduct commission has a tradition of having a prosecutor present on it. And I mentioned in my letter to the Bar Association two names that probably not familiar to you, but are familiar to the legal community, Jim Hanley and Tom Wardell. They're now retired prosecutors. I regard each as role models. I've had the opportunity to work with both, and they preceded me on the conduct commission. And they encouraged me, quite frankly, to participate. There has been no prosecutor on the commission since 1992. I don't know if that played a role in the governor's decision to appoint me or not, but it's certainly one reason that motivated me to apply and why I had a desire to participate. So I believe I have the background that will enable me to discharge my duties on the commission well. And with all that in mind, I hope to receive your vote of confirmation. If there's questions, Senator, I'll answer them. If not, I hope I haven't spoken for too long, and I'll thank you for your patience.
No, but for the record, Senator Guest has joined us as well this morning. Are there questions for Mr. Fayette from other members of the panel? Senator French.
Just by way of comment more than question, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was an intern in the DA's office in 1993 and an intern again in 1994. I served there from 1996 until 2002. I don't think Mr. Fayette needs my help getting out of this committee or getting confirmed, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say that he was consistently in the first rank of the prosecutors the entire time I was there, that he brought energy, intelligence, and maybe most notably creativity to the job. And I think the Judicial Conduct Commission will be in good hands with him on board. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator French. Other questions? Senator Huggins.
Mr. Fayette, thank you. Charlie Huggins here from Wasilla. First of all, I too served with you. You were a prosecutor, and I was just an Army guy. And thankfully, I didn't meet you in your role as a prosecutor. Number two, there was a question for you. Senator French and I recently served on a panel. We were looking at Office of Victims' Rights and selecting leadership. And that was an educational experience and one that I felt fulfilling. In that respect, could you just elaborate quickly for us the merits of why you received your award?
The recognition award, Senator, for that I mentioned here earlier from Victims for Justice.
Correct.
I served at the Anchorage District Attorney's Office for 11 years and. For most of that time, from the late 1990s on, I was assigned to the Violent Crimes Unit. The Anchorage District Attorney's Office has a unit of five or six prosecutors that focus primarily on person crimes, crimes of violence, homicide, robbery, domestic violence, assault. And Victims for Justice did then and does now a very active program of assisting particularly homicide case survivor, family survivors, family members to court. And so I interacted frequently with the Victims for Justice representatives at that time in my career. What immediately led to my recognition award was one particular homicide case, a 1998 shooting of a reporter in Eagle River. I spent a lot of time with that man's family members and loved ones, and I was very gratified when the murder victims' surviving significant other, surviving girlfriend, wrote a very nice, very touching letter to Victims for Justice nominating me for their annual recognition award. And then Victims for Justice presented me with that award, I believe, in 2001. I have that letter and the award framed in my office. It's probably one of the things I'm most proud of.
Yeah, well, congratulations again, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions from other members? Mr. Fayette, this is Senator Seekins. When a complaint is brought against a judge, what is the process?
Well, any person, not just a litigant, any citizen can file a complaint against the judge. It's a fill-in-the-blank form, and anyone can submit that. The commission is staffed by an executive director who has been there for, I think, almost 20 years, and she has an administrative assistant and staff investigator. The complaint is generally screened by the executive director and by her staff, generally informally at first. The commission has quarterly meetings, and prior to the quarterly meeting, the executive director provides the commissioners with that quarter's received complaints, a synopsis, the underlying documents, the court system documents, and the executive director's quick summation of the substance of the complaint. I've actually served on the commission since July, and I've been to two quarterly meetings, one in October and one just last week. At the quarterly meetings, the complaints are sort of segregated between those that the commission really are not properly before the commission and ones that are properly before the commission. And the distinction there usually is that the commission has no authority to alter, to comment on legal rulings or complaints of legal error. That's for the court system itself and the appellate process. And those, so the complaints are segregated to that, and then also the ones that are properly before the commission, allegations of improper judicial conduct. And so the complaint is then discussed at the quarterly meeting amongst the commissioners, and the commissioners will vote about whether the complaint should proceed more formally or whether it should be dismissed. If it proceeds, a judge might ask to be brought before the commission or offered the opportunity to address the commission. I've actually seen that happen twice. And that's very interesting. I've been very struck with how seriously, as you might imagine, the judges take these complaints. And then the commission will discuss the matter, and the matter may proceed or may be dismissed. That's generally the outline, Senator.
Is there a point, then, where someone, either staff or the commission itself, believes that there is a, let's call it a finding of probable cause to proceed farther, that there's some substance to the complaint?
Yes, precisely. The complaint could proceed to a formal investigation process, which then becomes a public proceeding. That's not happened in my short tenure on the commission so far, and actually it's only happened a handful of times since statehood. But it has happened, and those are very grave and serious matters. The complaint could proceed to a public investigation. A judge could be represented by his own attorney, and the commission has the ability to hire its own counsel, quite frankly, and a complaint could proceed formally. But as I've mentioned, that's only happened a handful of times since statehood.
You mentioned that it then becomes a public matter. Is a complaint that's brought that doesn't proceed to formal procedures then a confidential matter? Is it a public record?
At the outset, it's a confidential matter. And the reason for that is, I think I alluded to that in my initial comments, the ease with which a complaint might be brought simply to harass or spite a judge. If a complaint, in the initial stages, it's considered a confidential matter.
And who's bound to that confidentiality?
I beg pardon?
And who is bound to that confidentiality? Is it just
the commission members and the commission staff. I suppose there's nothing preventing the individual litigant from trying to publicize the fact they've filed a complaint against a judge. But the commission's proceedings itself and records of the initial investigation are confidential.
Okay. Do you have an actual procedure manual that you use in the Commission on Judicial Conduct?
Oh, yes. And in fact, the procedures that we're discussing this morning are on the Judicial Conduct Commission's website. The commission has rules of procedure and bylaws. They're put up on the website, and actually the Conduct Commission rules are actually published in the Rules of Court book that are circulated amongst the bar annually.
Okay. And when you were brought onto the on the council, what kind of instruction preparation did staff prepare or provide for you?
Well, the commission provides the commission staff, the executive director, provided me with copies of the obviously the judicial canon and the bylaw, the commission's bylaws and internal rules that I was already somewhat familiar with. The executive director also provided me with materials from the American Judicature Society that assists conduct commissions in every state with these types of issues, and I've reviewed those, and they've been actually very, very helpful.
Okay. Senator Terrio has joined us now as well for the record. Senator Terrio, we're speaking with Mr. Fayette, and I realize it's short notice. Do you have any questions you might want to forward to Mr. Fayette?
I looked over the information, and I didn't have any particular questions.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much. Have any other statements you'd like to make, Mr. Fiat?
No. Thank you, Senator. It's been a pleasure, and I hope I haven't tried your patience too long this morning.
No, you've been very, very helpful. Thank you very much. As chairman, I do have a report on a recommendation of appointment that would be forwarded to the President of the Senate, which would state that in accordance with AS 3905080, the Senate Judiciary Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to the Senate floor or to a joint session, whichever applies for consideration. For Commission of Judicial Conduct, James Fayette, and that this does not reflect any intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further session. What is the will of the committee on forwarding this report?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Terrio.
I would move that the Senate Judicial Committee forward Mr. Fayette's name to the Senate President for consideration during a joint session for confirmations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered, and thank you very much, Mr. Fayette, for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Senator.
We'll take just a short recess while we pass this letter around. Call the meeting back to order. Who's on the line now? William Walters is on the line with us.
I am on the line in the Fairbanks and Legislative Information Office, Senator.
Yeah, Mr. Walters, thank you very much for being with us this morning. All of our panelists here, Senator Guest, Senator Terrio, Senator Huggins, and Senator French and myself. And we have before us some of your credentials for being considered for the Alaska Public Offices Commission. And we'd ask you, sir, if you would introduce yourself to us and give us a brief summation of a little bit about who you are and also even though we've read it, and also then what motivates you to be on the commission?
Well, thank you very much, Senator. My name is William Walters. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I came to Alaska first in 1981, having been born in Pennsylvania. I went through several career changes before going to law school at the University of Texas at Austin, where I, to the degree possible, specialized in administrative law. And since then, that's the area in which I have worked. I'm presently a hearing officer with the Workers' Compensation Division for the Department of Labor in Alaska. I worked for approximately 6 years with the Tenant Chiefs Conference here in Fairbanks. During my years in Alaska, I've served on a number of public bodies as just a citizen service. I was on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Planning Commission for 7 years, if I remember correctly. I was on the Alaska Local Boundary Commission for 5 years. The governor appointed me to the Public Offices Commission on May 19th of 2005. The Public Offices Commission, I'm sure that you're all aware of, sometimes we are painfully aware of it. I have had to do APOC filings myself since 1987, so I'm fairly aware of the user end, I guess, of the commission's work. I specifically am in before you today because I was solicited to be submitted to the governor. As you're aware, the Public Offices Commission is a bipartisan commission that oversees four different statutes and a fifth modification of one of those statutes. And the commission consists of five members, two of which represent the two parties which received the largest number of votes in the last gubernatorial election, and the fifth member is a public member nominated by the present members, that is the partisan members of the commission, to the governor, but appointed to the governor by the governor. The parties each submit a list of four names to the governor. The governor chooses someone to submit. I was asked to if I would agree to be on the list to be submitted to the governor, and I'm not sure what the rationale was for choosing me. And the governor did select me, and I'm not sure exactly what the rationale was for choosing me. I would be pleased to serve. I would consider it an honor to serve the state in this capacity. I certainly can speak a little more about Public Offices Commission if you wish, but I'm sure that this committee is aware of the function and purposes of the commission.
Okay, Senator Theriault.
I'm sorry. I was looking at your resume as you were speaking. Did you say who specifically had approached you about?
No, I didn't. It was the Democratic Central Committee. They simply left a message on my answering machine at home and asked if I would be I would consider being submitted on a list.
Okay. And then was there a review or interview process then that took place?
No, I was asked to submit materials, and I just did that, so I didn't have a live interview, no.
Okay.
Resume, I think it's essentially the materials that you probably had before you. I believe this is Senator Theriault.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
Excuse me, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions at this point? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Walters, just to clarify from your resume, are you currently employed, and if you are, by whom?
I'm employed by the, I'm sorry if it's not clear in the resume. I'm employed by the Department of Labor. It's the Division of Workers' Compensation. I'm a hearing officer.
Okay. I will do present. Thank you.
Senator French, any questions? Additional questions? Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Walters, you mentioned that you had dealt with APOC in the past. I guess in that respect, in the macro, and I was just talking to Tammy, who's here in the audience, and I assume that you know.
I do.
We were just talking about how sometimes it could be very difficult understanding the meaning and intent of APOC business. But in your experience, you think that that's something that needs to be tweaked a little bit, or it's about right, or where do we go from here?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I am very new to the commission, so I hesitate to speak too firmly of an opinion on this. My sense is, and my experience from the two meetings I've attended and just from having read the statutes and also having had the file, the Public Offices Commission is fundamentally about disclosure. It's not so much a policing organization, except to the degree that that's necessary for transparency in government, I guess. And it certainly is it focuses on that, and I think given the resources that it has, it is probably doing a very good job. My experience is that I made lots of mistakes in my filings over the years, and I've corrected them, and frankly, I've never had anyone speak of experience with APOC in glowing terms in the sense that it was a great experience. Some have said it's much worse, much less of a problem than I expected when they had a difficulty. And consequently, in going on to this commission, I realize I'm probably not going to make any friends. But I think it's fundamentally doing what it's supposed to do in terms of just trying to ensure, as I said, transparency of the interest of decision makers and public officials in our governmental system. It is trying to make a heroic leap into an online computer system, which is obviously something that will be done sooner or later and needs to be done as quickly as possible. In the initial stages of that, it has been difficult for users, and no doubt will continue to have its rough patches, but I suspect that within a couple of years it'll flow much more simply and easily for us all. We all look forward to that day.
Thank you, Mr. Walters. And let me make sure I got this correct. I know very little about the commission, and this is a little bit of an education for myself. It sounded as though you said you were nominated by a political organization. Is that correct?
That's right. By statute, the Public Office Commission has five members. Two members are from each of the parties, of the two parties that got the most votes in the last gubernatorial election. And one member is a public member. For the partisan members, in this case, the Republican Party and Democratic Party, both nominate or have two seats, essentially. The central committees of each party, when a seat is open, will send four nominees to the governor, to the governor, and the governor chooses one of those nominees to be on the commission.
Okay. Yeah, I must admit that surprises me. My assumption is you don't feel as though you have any political task, however.
No, and I don't. It is a bipartisan commission. That is the structure of the statute. It was set up that way back in 1974, if I remember correctly, sir. My experience in the two meetings that I've had and reading through old notes is that the vast majority of the time the commission rules unanimously on decisions that it makes. So I have not caught certainly not a high-level partisan divisiveness in the commission. The commission acts very corporately in my experience. And frankly, I think the interest of commissioners is very close because any bending of the rules in favor of one party would favor the next party the next time around. So, I think that the interest in what the commission is about is the same to all the commissioners.
Thank you for assisting me in my education.
Other questions from members of the committee? Mr. Walters, this is Chairman Seekins. And I would like to ask some of the same questions that I asked to our last applicant and our nominee. Obviously you said you've attended what, two meetings so far?
That's right, Senator.
Before you or when you went on the committee or the commission. What kind of background information was provided to you by the staff?
Well, the staff did not provide any information until after the appointment was made. The staff don't know until the boards and commissions office notified them that an appointment has been made. So officially, I was on the commission before they could even know who I was. Any information that I had before that, I simply dug up on my own, which I did.
I mean, when you came on, were you provided with some?
Yes, my apologies, Senator. I was. They provided me with extensive documents. I've got three very large black binders full of statutes, old decisions, minutes, that sort of thing. They provide extensive information. The staff does a very good job, in my judgment, of supporting the commissioner's work.
The reason I ask that question, in some cases in the past, we've found that some people coming on commissions have been provided with a minimum, some have been provided with a lot. And I'm always curious to find out, people that come into these positions, exactly what level of background information and preparation is provided for them. Has nothing to do with your appointment or not, but it's point of information for me as well as the chairman of the committee.
Well, Senator, speaking, having been on other public bodies before, I would say that the staff provides very ample information to the commissioners.
Glad to hear that. Thank you. In looking at complaints that have or matters that have come before the commission while you were on there, could you just briefly summarize for us the process that you went through on one? You don't have to, if it's a confidential matter still, you don't have to reveal the confidentiality, but just step through the process that you went through, the commission went through on a matter that was brought before you.
Well, Senator, our proceedings are matters of public record. However, some of them are not completely finished as yet, and some of them are sort of in process, and some recur. So I'd hesitate to speak about any particular incident, but what normally happens is that commission staff are alerted to a problem either by discovering a discrepancy or something missing in records that are filed, or by a citizen complaint. A staff member would be assigned to investigate that matter and try to sort it out and rectify it. If there is a problem, if they can identify that there is a problem, if they can rectify the matter, it often never really rises to us, or if it does have to be addressed in some informal way, it's put on a consent agenda, and it's only those decisions that are larger or a plaint or something to that effect that actually has to be looked at by the commission. And no, anyone who's involved as a complainant or someone against whom a complaint is made can have a live hearing before the commission, and sometimes they elect to do that. But it is all public record.
Okay. Other questions from members of the committee? Hearing none. I have before me a document here that is a report on recommendation of appointment. It would go to the President of the Senate, which reads, in accordance with AS 3905-080, the Senate Judiciary Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to the Senate floor or to the joint session, whichever applies for consideration. Alaska Public Offices Commission, William S. L. Walters. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further session. Will of the committee regarding the report on recommendation. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move that we move William S. Walters' name forward to the President of the Senate for consideration on the floor further for joint session.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you very much, Mr. Walters, for being with us this morning. And good luck and serve the state well. I'm sure you will.
Thank you very much.
Short recess while we get this paperwork done. This morning, our next confirmation hearing is with a young surgeon. Obviously is detained and not able to join us this morning, so If there's nothing further to be brought before the Judiciary Committee this morning, we're adjourned until next Tuesday.